Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Today I'd like to talk about age differences in the relation of passive neighborhood environment to working. Researchers have more recently increased attention to the role of the built environment in influencing physical activity. Numerous studies have found that neighborhood attributes such as residential density, destinations near homes, and street connectivity are related to walking and cycling for transportation and total physical activity. Reviews of literature have repeatedly concluded that neighborhood environment factors are related to physical activity. However, it is unclear whether the strength of association differs by age group. We think that the study on differences between the environmental attributes and physical activity by age group is necessary. This is because older adults may be more sensitive to environmental constraints and facilitators because they have fewer transportation options and perhaps reduce the confidence in overcoming environmental barriers such as unsafe street crossings and lack of sidewalks. Further, the prevalence of meeting physical activity recommendations is the lowest among older adults in the United States. Therefore, age-related differences in the relation of environment to physical activity could explain some of the physical activity decline. The purpose of the study was to examine age-related differences in associations between neighborhood environment variables and physical activity across a broad age. Before explaining the recruitment of participants, I'll show you how we decided the study area. First of all, we calculated the walkability index. All census block groups in King County, Washington, Seattle area were ranked on a walkability index using data on land use for each parcel, street center line, and geographic information system. The index was calculated using four characteristics. Number one, net residential density, which is residential units divided by acres in residential use. Number two, land use mix, which is evenness of building floor area used for residential, retail, entertainment, office, and institutional development purposes. Number three, retail floor area ratio, which is retail building floor area divided by retail land area. And number four, street connectivity, which is intersections per square kilometer. Detailed methods have been published. A high walkability index means a more walking friendly area, especially for walking to destinations. All census block groups were ranked based on the walkability index and divided into deciles. And in the top four and bottom four deciles represent high and low walkable neighborhoods, respectively. Second, all census block groups were again divided into deciles based on median household income derived from U.S. Census data. The top and bottom deciles were excluded to avoid extreme values. The second to fourth deciles and seventh to ninth deciles represented the high and low income neighborhoods respectively. A 2x2 matrix was constructed to classify the selected census block groups by walkability and income. Clusters of adjacent block groups in the same quadrant were used to define neighborhoods. And the final selections were made based on field visits from investigators. Four neighborhoods were selected for each quadrant, for a total of 16 neighborhoods. Participants aged 20 years or more were recruited from those neighborhoods. Perceived environment was assessed by the questionnaire, Neighborhood Environment Workability Scale, which we call NEWS. The NEWS includes 8 subscales. They were residential density, proximity to non-residential land uses, such as restaurants and retail stores, ease of access to non-residential uses, which is land use mix access, street connectivity, walking and cycling facilities such as sidewalks and pedestrian and bike trails, neighborhood aesthetics such as lack of litter, attractiveness of landscaping and buildings, pedestrian traffic safety, and crime safety. In this study, neighborhood attributes was defined as the area within a 15 to 20 minutes walk from home. Items in land use mix diversity subscale were used to create two new measures to assess the proximity of parks and recreation facilities. Number one, the number of parks, recreation centers, or fitness facilities. And number two, a dichotomous measure indicating whether a park was in neighborhood. Details about the questionnaire, including response formats and scoring, are available from these papers or the website. I'd like to explain how we arrived at the measurements for walking. Basically, we used these two key questions on the survey. In the question on transportation, during the last 7 days, on how many days did you walk for at least 10 minutes at a time to go from place to place? If at least on one day or more, how many minutes did you usually walk on one of those days? In the question on leisure, how many days did you walk for at least 10 minutes at a time in your leisure time? If at least on one day or more, how many minutes did you usually walk on one of those days? For statistical analysis, we allocated the total walking time per week of each participant into 7 categories as described here. The number of participants were 1,623. There were significant variations among age groups for all sociodemographic characteristics, such as quadrant of workability and income, female ratio, body mass index, race, and motor vehicles. This table shows the mean NEWS scores for each age group. The youngest group, consisted of ages 20 to 39 years, reported living in the highest density neighborhoods, while the oldest group, consisted of ages 76 years or more, lived in the next highest density neighborhoods. On land use mix diversity, land mix use access, and walking and cycling facilities, two older groups reported lower scores, indicating older adults lived in lower walkable areas. On the subscale street connectivity, the youngest and older groups had the highest scores. No significant differences among age groups were found for neighborhood aesthetics. On the subscale pedestrian safety, older adults lived in higher walkable areas. But on the subscale safety from crime, the youngest and oldest group scored lower. I mean less favorably. The two oldest groups reported substantially less access to parks and recreation facilities. This table shows the socio-demographic adjusted partial correlation coefficients between perceived environment, news scores, and walking for transportation. Most of significant correlations were in the expected direction. However, two negative and significant correlations were found for safety from crime, showing inverse associations. For the youngest group, all 8 news subscale scores were significantly correlated, while for the two oldest groups, there were a few significant correlations. However, for the two oldest groups, the highest correlations were found in the land use mix factors. Surprisingly, the two recreation facilities variables were significantly correlated with transportation walking in the oldest age groups, but not correlated with leisure walking. Differences in correlation coefficients across age groups were significant for land use mix diversity. Here, we found the highest correlations for oldest two age groups. Next, land use mix access. Also, we found the highest correlations for the oldest two age groups. However, for street connectivity, we found the highest correlations for the youngest age group. For all pedestrian and traffic safety, we found the highest correlations for the youngest age group. For leisure walking, there were fewer significant neighborhood environment correlates, and almost significant findings were in the youngest group. For residential density, differences in correlation coefficients across age groups were significant, indicating the highest for youngest age group. And for pedestrian and traffic safety, the lowest correlation was found for oldest age group. Most of correlations for leisure walking were lower than those for transportation walking. And the differences were significant for some comparisons, indicating perceived neighborhood attributes were more related with transportation walking than with leisure walking. In summary, perceived neighborhood attributes were related to walking for transportation in all age groups, while associations with walking for leisure were weaker. Contrary to hypotheses, walking behavior, both for transport and leisure, was significantly related to all neighborhood environment variables in the youngest age groups. By contrast, there were few environment attributes significantly related to walking among older adults. However, those few significant correlations for older adults were the highest in the table. Specifically, the correlations of walking for transportation with the two land use mix scales. In conclusion, almost environmental attributes were related to walking for transportation among younger adults. Therefore, we could suggest that communities should be designed with numerous attributes to support walking. By contrast, proximity to destinations, including parks and recreation facilities, were the only correlates of walking for transportation among older adults. Further, the correlations were the strongest in these analyses. The implication is that older adults may benefit from living in neighborhoods within close proximity to common destinations, such as shops, services, and recreation facilities. There are three future studies which we should perform. At first, we need to confirm whether we can replicate the present findings in other regions. Second, we should also identify the specific destinations to which older adults work to most often. And finally, we should explore the reasons why associations of neighborhood attributes with working for transportation and leisure differ. Thank you.
We'll now entertain any questions.
You mean you're talking about the how can I?
No, no, but I mean, in your recruitment, did you notice if any of the groups were organized as a club or something like that would motivate them to in their use of simple walkability?
Yeah, how to recruit the participants? Is that right? Okay. The company list of the participants, residents from the company, and we randomly selected the residents and they sent the letter and call and asked to participate in this study.
So they were all individuals, they didn't like in some kind of organized fashion.
So it doesn't sound like anybody was, but no groups were approached.
No specific groups. In this study, we don't include the physical limitations of all the adults, so further studies needed.
Yeah,
thank you.
When I look at your results.
Sorry, please say clearly.
Oh, okay. When I look at your results table, your strongest partial correlations were about 0.3, meaning 90 or more percent of the variance is explained by something else. Have you thought about or tried doing some sort of variance decomposition technique with all of these other variables? Because perhaps individual pieces aren't explained very much, but if you made a more complex mathematical model, you could perhaps tease out the significance of each of these characteristics. Maybe some of the characteristics cancel each other out in some way.
He talked about the detail of analysis.
Well, he's basically saying that you need a much higher correlation to get a significant contributor to your variance.
I see. Yeah. I hope the correlation should be higher.
Well, that's part of it, but perhaps if you're doing individual correlations, you thought of doing a statistical technique where all of them go into the same model.
Mm-hmm.
Multivariate kind of a thing.
We adjusted the maybe five items such as BMI or something. Thank you.
That was an excellent presentation. We'll move on then. If there are any other questions, we can bring them up later on. Next presentation.